This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes, we are in the throwback episode of Women's History, Women's Month, Women Acknowledgement Month. I don't know, what's the technical, like, name for this month? Some people say Women's History, some people say just straight up Women's Month.
I mean, I think it's primarily Women's History.
Okay.
Sort of like Black History Month, but,
gotcha.
You know, we like to honor all things female this month. Just like in February, we like to honor all things Black that month.
Yeah. Even though with these 2 months, it's acknowledged all year, but, you know. But we will indulge, you know, for the months.
Yeah. I feel like you and I, we do a pretty good job of throughout the year touching on movies that are directed and primarily about either people of color or female.
Yeah.
Directors, actors.
Exactly. That's that's our duty at In-Flight Entertainment. We don't pigeon-toe ourselves to 1 month of acknowledging. We go through all the months to give you guys women and minority voices and movies and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. So that when we come to these months, we're like, oh man, but we did all this stuff all the other months.
Exactly. Yeah, we literally like just try to scramble. Like, okay, let's do this. Oh, we did that last month. Like, okay, let's do this. Oh, we did that 3 months ago. Like,
I mean, that goes to show you that there needs to be more representation in Hollywood so that when we're reviewing these movies, we don't have to scrounge up random shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And this Throwback Thursday, this particular movie is, well, I mean, I guess it would be a little bit into cinema obscura a little bit because not a lot of people know too much about this old movie.
I mean, I had never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, really. So we're doing Near Dark. It came out in 1987. It is Catherine Bigelow's very first movie. We've done one of her movies before. We reviewed Blue Steel, and we've talked about her plenty, I'm sure, because she's fantastic.
Yes.
But this is we are talking about her first movie that came out in 1987. Mm-hmm. And the cast was basically, the cast wrapped up Alien, and they're like, hey, we're bored. Let's go do a vampire movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is at the time where James Cameron and Catherine Bigelow was married, right? If I'm not mistaken.
They're either married or dating.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think like Cameron's like, yeah, it was Aliens. Man, that was fun, guys. You guys want to like do something in Texas for a few weeks for my girl? And I'm sure like, hell yeah. So,
Wait, was it filmed in Texas?
Yeah, they said they were in Texas. Well, at least one of the characters were like.
Well, yeah, I know the character said it was filmed in Eloy, Arizona. I know the characters say that they're in Texas, but it's filmed in Arizona.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay, so what was happening in October of 1987 when this film came out?
You know, that's so weird because when I looked in, like, I think I looked in IMDb. Did it give you a release date?
Oh, when you go down to the box office, opening weekend was October 4th.
Oh, what? Well, where did I get January 88?
I think that's when it was released in Peru.
Oh, Okay.
So what was happening when it was released in Peru?
Oh, okay. So this is what was going on when it was in Peru. This movie has been out for some months now in the U.S., but in Peru when it was released, the show we were watching, going from 5 to 1, 60 Minutes, number 4, Cheers, Different World, number 3, Roseanne, number 2, of course, Cosby's is holding it down with number 1, and you want to get it, you want to give a stab at the song, 88. January.
Was it Whitney Houston song?
No, it was a, it's a George Michael song.
Careless Whisper. No.
What was it? Careless Whisper. Carrie. No, you're wrong.
I Want Your Sex? Because that was like 89,
90. Yeah. Come on, get it. It's another way. It's not Freedom, because that was like way in the 90s.
Yeah, that was not 92, 93.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. Oh wait. Nope. Is it the video where he's shaking his ass next to the jukebox?
Yes.
Ah, but I can't think of the song.
Faith. You know what? Get the hey, Faith. Yeah, yeah, so that's what we were jamming to when this movie was released in Denmark. So this, like General said, some of the cast of the second Aliens was in here. And of course, the second Alien was directed by the one, the only, the James Cameron. So the cast, Caleb, the main character, Adrian Pasdar. Then we have Jenny Wright as May. You have the synthoid Lance Henderson. You have Bill Paxton. Of course, May, rest in peace. Jeanette Goldstein. And you got some other folks. Oh, Tim Thomerson. I think, yeah. So, yeah, those kind of like the heavy hitters of the movie.
Yeah. So, what is the Near Dark is about a small town farmer's son reluctantly joins a traveling group of vampires after he is bitten by a beautiful drifter. So, anytime there's a woman in a movie that agrees to go off with the man that she just met, she's going to like play one of three character types. She's either going to be a vampire, a serial killer, or an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Because women don't just go off with men randomly down dark roads that they just met. That doesn't happen. So yeah. In this case, she's a vampire.
See, but you would think, guys would be hip to that and not, try to bring a woman willingly. Once he said, yeah, let's go, you should pop the brakes. Like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, you really want to go with me to this alley? Like, oh, no. You probably want to either kill. Like you said, you either want to kill me, fight me, or what was the third one? Assassinate me, vampire, or...
I mean, serial killer.
Serial killer. Well, yeah. Well, kill me. You either want to kill me twice or bite me. Or if you're a werewolf, you'll probably, maul me. Whatever. Yeah, there's women werewolves, yeah.
Yeah, or she might be a demon, which then it's maybe possess him, but ultimately, like, you're gonna die.
Exactly. So Mr. Caleb didn't learn his lessons because he was so smitten by May. I ain't gonna front, maybe she was a little cutie, a little short haircut.
Played by Miss Jenny Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say that? The Adrian Pastor, who plays Caleb, he is so young in this movie. I totally didn't recognize him. Then when I went to his IMDb page, I was like, oh, that's what's his name from Suits. And
yep. That is true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and he was in Top Gun for a hot second. So, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, Bill Paxton, he just... He steals the movie. Honestly, just go watch this movie for Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can tell he was having a lot of fun. I don't know if any kind of white influence was going on around the set, but he was, yeah, he was doing those scenes. Yeah, he was hamming it up, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. He also has like his, so if for folks that have seen Weird Science, he plays like the
Chet.
Army big brother, Chet. And he has this evil, like sarcastic laugh in that movie that he uses in this movie. And it's just like that laugh is just, it is the best sarcastic laugh that you just,
yeah.
I want to play it during meetings when people say stupid shit.
Oh, you totally should. Like, you figure out how to get that laughter cue and just fire it up when somebody say something. Just like, and then you get this like a button you can just keep pressing, just have it just keep constantly.
Make that, please.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I could make an MP3 and send it to you. It's fine. Yeah. So then we go into this adventure of Caleb. You know, well, of course he gets bitten and he finds out that something is not right because, you know, sun is coming up and he's smoking, literally smoking on his body. He don't know what's going on. But this
the special effects done for that was basically cigars put underneath the shirt and pipes.
See, it's old school practical shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really got to appreciate the practical shit though. Like, that's like, hey, we have shoestring. What can we do? Yes. I think all the money went towards the casting.
Like, if you go and read up on some of the things that are happening on set, I feel like they were just sort of there to have fun because Bill Paxton would, they were filming near a train, a railroad track, and the trains would go by at the same time every night. And there's a scene where half of his face is missing and the train wasn't moving. So he went up to the train conductor with all of his makeup on to say, hey, there's been an accident back here. And then Lance Henriksen, who he gave his entire character like a backstory that he was a... he fought in the Civil War for the South, and he was a Navy person. And so he was driving around the small town Arizona picking up hitchhikers as this character and scaring the shit out of people. So I feel like they were just there to have fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, especially coming off of a super huge, I'm sure, like, a physically and mentally tiresome film like Aliens. I mean, I'm sure it's kind of like a good palate cleanser. Like, you just gotta just roll around either a truck or pickup truck or camper or RV and just, you know, go to random bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the event
with the friends.
Yeah, exactly. And the vampire family that Caleb has adopted, so to speak, unwillingly, but, you know, it's May. And then there's the kind of, they have a little kid, a little boy, a little creepy little boy. and I think he's like the oldest because it was a piece of dialogue saying, you know, like he's like the oldest of them all.
I miss that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you had a mother. Ish. And Lance Hendrickson is kind of the father's, if you know, so to speak. So yeah, and now Caleb is trying to, you know, get allocated to this new family while at the same time abandoning his own family, which is his father and little sister, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and so at the beginning when Caleb's like trying to go home and he starts smoking in the field, the family sees him, they see this RV run by and pick him up and in their mind kidnap Caleb. So they go on a road trip to go find him. Meanwhile, Caleb's being indoctrinated into the vampire family.
Right. So then it's kind of like, then we start seeing like the habits of the family, like how they kind of snatch their prey to, you know, feed. And it's like this sequence where we see the different family members and how they kind of get their prey and, you know, at the same time trying to get Caleb to, you know, just be a vampire, man. Just go ahead and, you know, get that blood, man. Kill him. Like, get your kill on. But, you know, he's still trying to keep that one thing that makes him human, which is not be a killer. So the loophole of that is May allows Caleb to feed off of her. And so that's kind of like, all right, if you're not going to kill, I'll help you with that.
Right. So, I mean, this movie is a vampire movie, but it has some differences to traditional vampire movies in that, well, one, they never say vampires.
Right.
Two, vampires can be converted back to human. There's a couple scenes where they kill someone and then drink the blood. Vampires can't drink the dead man's blood. That will kill them. So that's like a curveball for a vampire movie. And then also Caleb never really killing anyone and only getting his feeding from the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was like, I think what the blood transfusion was flipped you back or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you get a blood transfusion from a human and you become human again, which doesn't make any sense because how is, like, if I'm a vampire and I'm drinking blood, that keeps me a vampire, but having blood go directly into my veins turns me into a human. It doesn't make any sense. Scientifically, logically, no.
Yeah, because we all are immersed in vampire DNA. It's a real thing, people. It's a real thing. Yeah, and so everything comes to a head where, you know, the vampire family is in a motel, but the little vampire kid comes across a girl at the vending machine who, twist, is Caleb's little sister. And this is when things just start, you know, clashing, like his real family and his adopted family, so to speak, are, you know, at odds and, you know, who he's going to pick, like who does he belong to, you know, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, and that's kind of like where things converge, things like that. And May start to see, you know, that this vampire stuff isn't for Caleb, but she loves him anyway. So she decides, you know, to help him kind of get out the clutches of the vampire family, so to speak.
Yeah, so Caleb's dad ends up giving him blood infusion and saves him, and then there's like a big giant fight scene and all the vampires get burnt up with the sun. But the girl is saved by Caleb. Caleb saves May and turns her human by giving her a blood infusion. We live happily ever after.
Yay. Okay, so the first like the first scene is like a real like extreme close up of a mosquito kind of like, you know, sucking on Caleb's arm.
Yes.
All right. So, so kind of like fun fact about this one. So in this article saying the realization that they were going to film a real mosquito interacting with an actor meant they had to grow the mosquito from scratch so that there were no contaminants that he would be exposed to. And that took 6 months.
Oh my God, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, the things you do to get that shot. You know, it's funny because I thought that was like, oh, maybe that's like a, you know, like a toy, like, I don't know, like a prosthetic, whatever. But that was a real mosquito. Like, actually sucking on arms. That's crazy.
Stupid mosquitoes.
I know. Like, what are they good for? I guess besides, you know, extracting dinosaur DNA and later for us to discover and open up a dinosaur park.
Right.
All right. So our review goes as follows. As on this couch, you know, it's good. You know, it's a good watch. You know, you have fun watching it. Shoes on, kind of play going outside. It's meh. And finally, running outside without a mask and embracing the elements of death.
So what is it for you?
You know, because it's such a low budget B, it felt so B movie-ish. I watched it as such, and because it felt so B movie, like I give it a sit down. It's like I wouldn't put this next to an Interview with a Vampire. And if, like I said, it felt very budget conscious, very kind of old school Robert Rodriguez, El Mariachi type feel. Like, it wasn't much money went into stuff, so they kind of had the shoestring shit. And I kind of have a soft spot for a movie like that, you know, try to, you know, do practical shit and try to make it work. And plus Bill Paxton, man, it's fun to watch. It's not a long movie, like an hour and a half. So, yeah, I mean, based off that, it gets to sit down. I'll say, don't expect a sweeping vampire epic. I mean, I would say, you know, get some drinks, watch Bill Paxton, and yeah, you have fun.
Yeah, so this is Put Your Shoes On for me. I would say fast forward and just go to the bar scene, because the bar scene is really the best scene in the movie. And you don't... like, you don't need the entire story to get to the bar scene to understand it. Lost Boys came out the same year this did. So if you want, like, a good vampire movie, go watch Lost Boys and then watch the bar scene in this. And you're all set for vampires movies.
I'm glad you brought that. Yes, yes. So it's a total juxtaposition, right? Like, Lost Boys is, like, super glossy, super sexy, you know, like Joel Schumacher with, the, like, the sweeping aerial crane shots. So, based off that, I will say, yeah, if you want to get two ends of a vampire, like, spectrum visually of a vampire story, yes, get your Lost Boys on. And if you want to get kind of dirty and gritty and dusty and nasty... yeah, do near dark. Dark. Yeah, do near dark. Yeah. Yeah, both of them serves a purpose. So yeah, guys, there you have it, Captain. Yeah,
I mean, like, you compare, like, Near Dark is a Texas vampire movie.
Right.
Gritty, dirty cowboys. I mean, even like to the point of people riding horses. And Lost Boys is the glossy blue state California vampire movie. Absolutely. Yep.
So it's kind of like what you in the mood for, you know? are you in the mood for Kiefer or Bill? Like, whichever way you want it. So yeah, there you have it, guys. Near Dark. Like I said, Catherine Bigelow's feature film debut, and she went nowhere but up from Near Dark. So yeah, there you have it, guys. Till next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep wearing those masks.
Yes. Peace.